Hi, everyone, and welcome to what has turned out to be the season finale and the Capital Cup edition of the Spider Insight podcast, along with Christian Gravis, Spider's Director of Football Public Relations. I'm Bob Black. Coming up in a little bit, Spider wide receiver J5, as we love to call him, Javion Griffin, will join us on the podcast today, who's finishing the series season with a flourish. Has had back-to-back 100-yard games and three straight with a touchdown catch. We'll talk about all of that with J5 here in just a couple of moments. But, Christian, speaking of numbers, I'm looking at your game notes for this week, and the very first number, terrific job with the number 7 and the less than or equal to symbols on the game notes. I don't think I've ever been through a season like this. I heard Russ Huseman mention it, that he hadn't been through a season like this. 11 games, 9 of them decided by 7 points or fewer, and every Patriot League game.
Exactly, and that goes back to show that everyone in the Patriot League is competitive. They can play against each other. We've been talking about that all year long, and you see that with the score of these games, how close some of them have been. You know, one or two swings of momentum here and there, and the season could look completely different for the Spiders.
Yeah, that is both a good news, bad news, right? I think it is good news about how competitive they've been, but the double-edged sword, you want to finish some of them off and you want to win those games, as opposed to, as Chris Anderson used on the telecast Saturday, an almost season. It seemed like every week there was something that almost, if it had happened, would have changed the outcome of the game. To your point, and to include last Saturday against Lafayette, right?
Exactly. And like you just said, almost, and finding and finishing and ending these games the way that you want to and not the way that some of them have gone. It comes back to really just individual drives throughout the season that we've seen. It's just coming up short. You know, we saw that a lot on Saturday, was just not being able to finish these drives in the end zone.
You know, Lafayette came in here really hyped offensively, and I think they lived up to that billing, obviously, by putting 35 on the board. But Kente Edwards, to borrow a political phrase, is the presumptive Patriot League Offensive Player of the Year. He's won the weekly award a half dozen times now, and he was terrific in the game with a career-high 265 yards and the two touchdowns. But the Spiders did have some outstanding performances. I mentioned Javion Griffin. Thought Kyle Wickersham, actually, coming off the bench, played one of his better games, and then the interception by Peyton Seelman on the defensive side.
And you could tell that Peyton Seelman was a running back in high school based on the way that he was moving down the sidelines. And then for him to get chased down by Kente Edwards is amazing. I think they should include those rushing yards in his stats for Saturday, because, I mean, he was just fantastic to watch. And you look at the box score, you know, the Spiders outgained Lafayette 480 to 419 yards. The big difference there, though, was in rushing yards. In 254, Lafayette had the 147 Richmond. And obviously, you know what Kente Edwards came up with, and he basically did that on his own. The one or two times that he broke free, you could just tell he was gone. He was headed for the end zone, and those were the difference makers in the game.
You know, we talk about that Seelman interception, and you talk about him being like a running back, and I couldn't help but be thinking as that play was unfolding, Camden Byrd was on Behind the Web over there at Bar West last week, and one of the things we talked about was the defense hadn't scored a touchdown yet this season, and I really thought it was going to come to fruition on that play until Kente Edwards came along.
Kente Edwards came along. Seelman might have missed the stiff arm a little bit over his shoulder, but, you know, great return by Payne there.
What do you make of Kyle Wickersham's performance? As we said, it's been an up-and-down season. Injury bug has hit a little bit again. But 20 of 35, 234 yards, couple of touchdowns, and then he gets in the end zone on the spider shove, the spider push as well. You know, coming off of the bench late in the year, pretty darn good performance by Kyle.
Exactly, and he's just always been ready to go, no matter how the season's gone, with what each game looks like, whether he's starting those games or he's, you know, trying to nurse back from an injury. He's always prepared. He's always ready to go, and he always gives us an option and a shot. And it's great to see that out of both of our quarterbacks, honestly. I thought it was really interesting to see on Saturday playing two quarterbacks out there for a majority of the game, and then for Kyle to go out and kind of be the closer and finish it. It was great to see that, you know, he's never lost his focus. He's never lost sight of the goal, and he just goes out there and works.
And he distributed the ball, you know, really well. Javion Griffin with 10 catches, Isaiah Dawson with 7. Great to see Kwanye Vini kind of get back in the mix after his, you know, tough elbow injury with 5 catches. And Andreas Hill, you know, had the 4 receptions and the touchdown towards the end of the game that put the Spiders in a position to at least make an attempt to tie or win it.
Exactly. And a lot of that has to do with the receivers. And Isaiah Dawson Javion Griffin, who we're going to talk to here in a little bit. You know, J5 has put together two back-to-back 100-plus yard games for the first time of his career in the past 2 weeks, and he's on a three-game touchdown streak.
And one last thing about the Lafayette game. At the end of the contest where the Spiders had the opportunity to score and potentially, as I just said, tie or win the game. I haven't had a chance to talk with Coach Huseman yet. Maybe you have, but I think the rumbling is out there. If we had scored, was he going for a PAT to tie it, or was he going for two to win it?
So UTV guys aren't getting in on these radio scoops, apparently, because Robert Fish and Jason Vito were all over it. Coach was going to go for two, so the game was over in regulation no matter what.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that's what everybody in the stadium would have liked. I guess he said that on the post-game radio show.
He did, yeah.
Kudos to Robert and Jason for getting that out of him. But that kind of makes some sense at that point in the season. Like, what do you have to lose? Let's just win it or lose it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a number 25 team. To say that you could upset them on a play like that, a two-point conversion at the end of the game to win would have been incredible. And, you know, and that's the momentum. And I still think, based on Saturday's performance, we are carrying a good amount of momentum into this game against William & Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's find out what J5 thinks about that and a whole lot more, and then we'll preview the William & Mary game on the other side of our conversation with Javion Griffin, who's coming off of back-to-back outstanding weeks with his first two 100-yard games of the season. We mentioned the game against Lafayette, and he also had the one against Georgetown, and Javion joins us on our podcast this week. J5, thanks so much for joining us. What about it? What about the last 2 weeks? What have you, you know, really liked about what you've been able to do to try and help the team, the two 100-yard games? The touchdowns. How have you felt about your performance here in the last couple weeks?
Yeah, man, thank you for having me. Trying to take it one play at a time and really really trying to take it one play at a time and, you know, focus on the ball, focus on the rotation, start a rotation, and, you know, just trusting in the play calls and, you know, whenever the ball's in the air, trying to get it and make a play on it.
I hear guys, when they're having success, particularly later in a season, talk about the game slowing down for them. Is that an accurate description for you, and what the heck does it mean to you?
Yeah, I feel like that is the case in my case. Really just trying to, you know, like I said, taking it one play at a time and really trying to focus on one play at a time. You know, I feel like it's kind of easy to think about the last play, say if you messed up, or, you know, thinking about the next play, trying to dictate the next play, and I really just feel like when you're really trying to focus on one play, literally, you know what I mean, mentally, and, you know, I feel like that's how you be consistent. So,
the last two games have been the games of your career so far. Is there some impetus between you and the rest of the seniors to kind of leave it all out there?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, I feel like I, like, subconsciously know that, like, this is, like, the last season. So, yeah, I'm definitely more focused on it I've ever been, and more yeah, just giving more, like, all I can, you know, each and every play, really trying to take that to heart. So,
hey, can I go back to something you just said? I'm really curious about it, and that is to kind of forget the last play, move on to the next one, whether it was good or bad. We asked Andrew King that question. You know, 2 weeks ago he drops that pass in the flat, probably has a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
The next week he makes, you know, what he called the coolest touchdown catch of his career.
Right.
Ashton Snellsire calls it, you know, the greatest pass he's ever thrown. Mm-hmm. What's a wide receiver's mindset like that when bad turns into good?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, you know, I feel like as a receiver, we got to have a mindset of next play mentality and really have a short memory, especially, like, I feel like it's kind of easy to, yeah, you might make a touchdown in, like, the first quarter, and then you're kind of chilling for the rest of the game. Now you got to, you know, you got to really forget about that, whether you caught the pass or you didn't catch the pass or you did something wrong or right. You really got to have a short memory no matter what, so.
Talk about this weekend's game going to William & Mary and kind of what that means for you, having been someone that's now been a part of this for 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, we talk about it being, like, the longest rivalry in the South and in college football. So, yeah, you know, William & Mary, I mean, you know, Coach O, he went there. So, I feel like, you know, it's the last game. No, I'm not – it's not like a personal – too personal of a game for me, but – really just trying to take it, you know, it's just the next game and it's the last game, so, and it just so happened to be the Capital Cup, so, you know, just taking that to heart, you know, we obviously want to bring that cup back, so, you know, that's really our mindset, and also going 1-0, I feel like that's the first priority, so.
So the Winston October thing.
Yeah.
When do you acknowledge him, if at all? Is it pregame? Is it postgame? Is it not at all now that he's wearing green and gold?
Well, I feel like me personally, I'm a very unbothered individual. So, I mean, it don't really matter to me. I, you know, it doesn't really matter. So,
you may or may not hello, right? Hey, look, you're wearing a championship T-shirt right now. I know the audience can't see it. We're on audio from 2023. There was one of those in 2022. There was another one of those in 2024. What does that mean to you to have been part of this culture, this program that has been so good while you've been here?
Yeah, I feel like it's an honor to be a part of those two teams. Winning the CAA back-to-back years, and I don't really remember when the last time that happened.
Only once, and I don't think you were alive when it
happened. Yeah, I wasn't alive.
They were in the Southern Conference. Yeah.
So I mean, that's I feel like that's something that my class and the people that was part of that team take pride in. So.
And what's next for the wide receivers and Spiders in general? Are there guys in the room that are exciting you? Some of the younger guys that you could talk about?
I mean, the guys that stepped up when Jay Fair got hurt and Kwanye got hurt, Andreas, I feel like Jay Rice is going to be good. Mm-hmm. Donovan, he's going to be good. Obviously Zay, he's been doing his thing. He's going to be good. I feel confident in the wide receiver group, the younger guys moving forward. So,
how do you maintain that consistency given the coaches that have come and gone? We just talked about Coach O. We got Coach Taylor now, and then even the offensive line has had three coaches. Some of these seniors have had three coaches. How do you maintain that consistency?
I can speak for myself. I'll say really confidence. I feel like that's the biggest part. You can't really do nothing. You can't really showcase your talent if you don't really got no confidence in yourself. So I feel like that's really the main part. No matter who's coaching you, you got to have confidence in yourself. So,
well, you've definitely shown that confidence the last couple of weeks. So I want to show it before we let you go and go back to a couple of the highlights.
Right.
Take us back to the Georgetown game. That one, you were so wide open. I almost wonder if there was a degree of difficulty to this one because you were so wide open.
He receives a snap, looking to pass, goes over to the near side, a wide open Javion Griffin, catches it at the 10 and goes in for the touchdown! Richmond has come all the way back! What a shot by Snellside to Javion Griffin, wide open!
Easy money, Javion Griffin was open. You got to give some credit to the play calling on that one. First down, we've been hitch. That time you get a little hitch and go, a little double move. There's confusion on the back end. Javion Griffin could have, caught that. You and I could have caught that. once he made the move, he was wide open. That's a great call.
It was really supposed to be a double move, but I don't know what happened. I like to say, if you're playing Madden and you try to run commit, everybody blitzes. I feel like that's kind of what was happening. I feel like we've been running – we was running hitches that game a lot. So I kind of feel like he was trying to jump the hitch or something. I don't know what happened, but I was – obviously I was wide open. But, definitely trying to focus on the ball the whole time when you're that open. I feel like, you got to lock in.
And then talk about this last touchdown this past week. With you kind of bobble in the end zone and pull it in, kind of catch it twice.
Wickersham lofts it up there for J5, who makes a juggling catch for 6. Javion Griffin, a spectacular catch on the pass from Wickersham. 32-yard Spider touchdown.
Big Tom needed it right now. And I tell you what, bobbled it. And, we're worrying, and he secures it. He's been that type of guy for this Spider team in the second half of the season, continually making big plays every game.
Yeah, that one was kind of weird. I caught it, and then when I was coming down, my knee kind of hit the ball. So I had to, kind of adjust and focus on the ball. But, that was a good play, concentration. And then, at the end, I hit the little Michael Jackson.
I was going to say, the dance at the end, is that something that you guys, when Andreas scored his first touchdown, he had that thing down pat. He knew exactly what he was doing. Do you guys think about that at all?
Yeah. I feel like every player, especially if you're trying to get into the end zone, you think about what you're going to do. You know what I mean? And, I like Michael Jackson ever since I was a kid. So, doing the beat it dance, doing my little thing. So,
so what do you got in store for us this week?
I got a couple.
Yeah.
I got another Michael Jackson one. You'll see.
All right. We're going to look for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Saturday at William & Mary. Get that touchdown, J5.
Yes, sir.
And get that victory again for the Spiders. Great career. Congrats on all of that. Put an exclamation point on it.
Yes, sir.
Saturday, and thanks for visiting
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, J5. Now, Bob, when J5 first got here, he's always been J5 since high school, but he actually started wearing 89 his first couple seasons here. I think he switched last year. He's one of those guys that's been around for a long time, fifth-year senior, and he's part of a group of 8 guys that are still on this team now that have been on it for 5 years. And they're going into their last game this weekend against William & Mary, and with a win, these guys are going to be 4-1 against the Tribe.
I love the story that he told when he was on Behind the Web over there at Bar West about the nickname, the J5 thing. And he said he had the nickname in high school. So when he came here to Richmond, he still used the nickname, even though he wasn't wearing number 5. And that was really confusing until he changed the number to 5. And then it all kind of meshed together, made sense. And it's probably part of the reason why he's, as he said, finishing up the year so strong. And you mentioned 8 guys. And I mean, in this day and age, Christian, of college athletics, pretty impressive that you'd have that number of guys that have stayed at one school for all 5 years. I'm going to rattle off the 8. If I'm missing one, somebody will tell us, and that will give us a more complete list. But I think I'm right here. Kyle Wickersham, Theos Figueroa, Donovan Hoylett, Owen Laughlin, Gabe Carbajal, Brian Catanzarite, Big Cat, Jaden Olszewski, Springer, and Javion Griffin. J5 is the group of 8 that was here in 2021, which is significant because that at the end of that season is where this run really began, right?
Exactly. We talk about that 2021 team a lot and what they did and the momentum that they were able to create for this team. And I know these fifth-year guys, they think about the guys that are on that team a lot, and they reference them quite a bit. And I'm sure that their goal is that they're going to be the ones that are referenced, you know, by these younger guys. You know, the freshmen, sophomores this year are going to be talking about this class. You know, those names that you just rattled off are, you know, some of the best guys that I've gotten to know while I've been here at Richmond. They're some of the best leaders. They're some of the best students. And when you get 5 years at the University of Richmond, you're gonna get skills like that that you can take with you. So while their last game might be Saturday, they're going to go do plenty of great things afterwards.
Well, they'd like to put an exclamation point on their last game Saturday because it's something they've been pretty good at during their time here. The pendulum has really swung in this series. First of all, I think it's remarkable. 136th meeting. We call it the oldest rivalry in the South, most played rivalry in the South. Capital Cup presented by CNF Bank, and we played all those games. And these two teams are separated by just 2 games. The Spiders have a 2-game advantage.
Which is incredible that it can be that close. And that's really what a rivalry is. You look around the country at some of these rivalry games, and they're completely lopsided. They're not even close. You look just up the road at the game between Randolph-Macon and Hampton-Sydney, and those games have never been close for a long time. And granted, there were times of this series where the games were not close and William & Mary had Richmond's number, but 16 of the last 20, like you just said, I mean, Richmond's, you know, riding high in this series as of late.
You know, again, you had that note on your game notes. I'm just proving to you that I read your hard work week after week. And when I saw Richmond has won 16 of the last 20 meetings, I was kind of like, really? Wow, that kind of shocked me. I do remember back in the 80s when Jimmy Laycock, the Hall of Famer, was in his heyday. William & Mary probably had a stretch of at least that, as you said, if not more. So I think we all feel good that the Spiders are where they are here, having won 16 of the last 20. And you know that group of seniors and this entire team would like to add to those numbers on the Richmond ledger.
Absolutely. And I think Coach Huseman is also one of those people included. He's been a part of this game now. This will be the 26th time that he's been a part of this game. Granted, he's been on both sidelines for it, and he's, you know, he's been part of helping Richmond win. He's been part of helping beat Richmond. So this game means a lot to him too.
Yeah, 22-4, huh? I'm glad he's wearing the red and blue this week. Maybe that'll give us a little bit of advantage. Because remember, on the other side of the field, I don't have Mike London's numbers in front of me. I don't know if William & Mary provides them or not. I haven't quite gotten that far yet. But he's probably been involved in close to that number of games. Of course, he played in this rivalry because he was a Richmond Spider player. He's been an assistant coach on both sides, and he's been a head coach on both sides. So I think the coaching matchup is pretty phenomenal in this game.
Absolutely. And you just look, too, just the coaches that have gone between both schools at different points mm-hmm. in their careers. There's been so many of them, more than a handful of coaches I've gone between both, and I think that's just a testament to the programs, the two schools, and just how lucky we are that this rivalry exists and that we get to play it as the last game of the year every year.
We'll see another familiar face on that other sideline, of course, in Winston October, the Spiders' former offensive coordinator and a great Spider player, and now William & Mary's offensive coordinator as well. I was thinking about that. Do you think has there ever been a player who has transferred between Richmond and William & Mary? I don't know if that's ever happened. Like you said, coaches – it has happened several times, obviously, but I don't know if there's ever been a player that's played for both William & Mary and Richmond. I kind of hope not, right? That's just part of the rivalry.
I don't think that there could be just – I mean, you go down on the field right now during this week of practice in particular, and I'm sure the same thing's happening in Williamsburg. These guys aren't transferring to the other school. Mm-hmm. They're looking to go and beat the other team.
All right, how do the Spiders beat the other team this week? What do you think, Christian? Quite frankly, William & Mary's playing its best football of the year right now. They've reeled off, you know, consecutive wins, I think three in a row and four of their last five, and they're using every aspect of the game. Their offense is putting points up there, their defense creating turnovers, their special teams. You know Russ Huseman's going to take a note at that. Their special teams have truly been special, particularly with their block punts.
Yeah, it's the last game of the season. Mm-hmm. We got to do something that we haven't done a great job of all year, and that's just finishing, like we've been talking about. Finish. Find ways to finish in the end zone. Get the run game going a little bit more than we did last weekend. Continue to open up the passing game, and I think we'll find success.
All right, Christian, last point. Finish it up. We're ready to wrap up our season finale of the Spider Insight podcast. Not the year we want it. We use the word almost, all of those close games. How would you kind of frame this season, and maybe even in the context of what's next for the Richmond Spiders?
Yeah, I think what next is a lot of people are looking at early December when the transfer portal opens to see who potentially is coming in. The world that we live in, there will be guys that will leave. That's just a given. So it's managing that. I think, you know, years prior, it was a lot about recruiting and getting kids out of high school. And then, you know, once you got them here, developing them, finding ways to win games here. And that was kind of what you were doing. Now you have to play this other game where you're, you know, fishing in the portal, trying to find people, trying to keep people out. So managing that, I think, is really what next steps are. And then just seeing where it goes from there, seeing the guys that were able to get in, the guys that were able to retain, and how we can continue to build this roster. With a win on Saturday, you finish the season with a winning record.
Yeah.
And that's something to build off of and continue growing on. Not every season is going to be like the last three that we have. We've learned that. But it's about moving on and continuing to get better. And we got a lot of young guys on this team that are going to do just that.
Got to keep that portal door that is heading in wide open, and that portal door that is heading out open just a crack. You know, you're not going to keep everybody, as you said, in this day and age, but you don't want a repeat of last year. And I don't think we will have that. And I think the roster hopefully will have a little more stability to it moving forward, plus the incoming players, as we said. So Saturday should still be fun, right? I mean, William & Mary maybe has an outside chance still at a playoff berth. A lot of things would have to fall in their favor, but the Spiders would love to spoil whatever that small hope may be anyway. And as you said, finish with a winning record, not what we've had around here the last three seasons, but I think it would still check a box and get 2026 off on the right foot. And who knows what will happen in this game, too. I think we always find some surprises in this one.
Well, I could tell you what, just based on stats alone, I think it might be a one-score game.
Let's hope for that. I think that would be great if we have one more one-score game. All right, Saturday's game is 1 o'clock down there in Williamsburg. They are expecting a big crowd for that one. We hope to see a lot of red and blue down there at Zabel Stadium when Richmond and William & Mary meet in the Capital Cup presented by C&F Bank for the 136th time. Kickoff 1 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 12:30. Chris Anderson, Matt Smith, and myself with our pregame show on 106.1 ESPN. Game is also on Masson and Flow Sports if you're not making it down there and you want to check out the video. Christian, again, another fun year. Have loved sitting up here in the press box week in and week out, watch the guys practice and talk Spider football.
It's my pleasure every week.
All right, for our special player guests, Javion Griffin and Christian Gravis, our great Spider Director of Football Public Relations, I'm Bob Black. Thanks for tuning in each and every week, and we'll do it again in 2026 with the Spider Insight Podcast.